Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Jeff Kroll is here making a return visit to the show, an attorney over at Salvi, Shostak and Pritchard PC. Why are you not a partner? You should be a partner, Jeff. You know that.
Well, I'm a partner, not a name partner.
That's right. That's the way it should be. Very, very healthy attitude.
less money out of my pocket.
Oh, yeah, I guess there would be. All right, so we want to cover a couple of things with you today, but mostly the proliferation.
That was
the
good.
Abundance of Uber and Lyfts. All of a sudden, there's way too many of them on the roads, and we're paying a price for it. Please take it away.
I have to look up the word you just mentioned.
Proliferation.
I don't even know what that means.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, he's like Rain Man. All of a sudden. In the last 3 years, the number of registered vehicles for Uber and Lyft have quadrupled, which means there's more traffic on the roadways, which means there's more accidents.
Sure.
You know, for example, in 2016, there were 6 bicyclists that were killed. We don't have the infrastructure for this type of proliferation of vehicles in the city of Chicago and surrounding suburbs.
You know what else you can add to the mix is the Uber Eats and the DoorDash, because those are more services and more cars. Traffic's already completely congested. But what do we do? I mean, everyone's using Uber and Lyft and DoorDash and Uber Eats.
Well, I'll tell you what the taxi cab union is trying to do. In Illinois, for example, the number of medallions are capped.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, if you want to be a cab driver, you have to own a medallion.
Yeah.
It's capped. There's no such cap for Uber or Lyft drivers. So that's what they want. They want to cap it. 5-6 years ago, it cost $300,000 to purchase a medallion for a cab. Now it's down to $30,000.
Well, look at that huge drop.
It's because of Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
You know, why do that? The other part of the equation that people don't talk about is public transportation. If public transportation has dropped by 9% since Uber and Lyft entered the Chicagoland marketplace, pretty soon, one of two things are going to happen. Prices are going to go up for services, or services are going to be eliminated. It happens in every industry. That's something we're going to have to look at down the road.
Somebody just told me yesterday that in New York, they've put in this clause now where if you're not already signed up for Uber or Lyft, they're not allowing new people in. Is that true?
That's true. And that's what the taxi cab union and some of these other unions are trying to do. Obviously, Uber and Lyft are trying to oppose it.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing that I find, you know, fascinating about this whole thing is there's a direct correlation from when we quadrupled this number of Lyft drivers and Uber drivers to the number of deaths that have occurred.
Deaths, well, more cars on the road, more accidents.
Yep. And the number of deaths, surprisingly, motor vehicle fatalities, was declining up until 2015.
Really?
I'm sure a lot of it has to do with seatbelt safety. You know, back in the day.
And airbags and things like that.
Back in the day, the seatbelt was, you know, your parent sticking their arm to block.
The quick arm.
Yes. And my mom was like kung fu fighting. She was great. But that number was dropping, which is a great sign. Now, even traffic is now 15 minutes longer. And, you know, if you live on taking the Eisenhower, taking the Kennedy, it's really bad.
Yeah, of course.
But the issue that they're going to bring up is DUIs have decreased. There's a lesser number of DUIs.
See, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. It's a great thing. You know,
it's all a give and take kind of thing, you know.
It's a give and take. And that's you could take either side of this argument, but the fact of the matter is we have got so much congestion in the Chicagoland area with these vehicles.
Yeah.
It's getting frightening.
So what do they say about this? What does Uber and Lyft say in their own defense?
We're providing a service to the community. Yeah. We're providing it at a cost that's effective. You know, some people argue, you know, I just talked about public transportation. Most people are not taking an Uber or a Lyft during that rush hour. They're taking it at night. They're taking it on a weekend when they wouldn't be taking the L anyway.
Yeah.
That's one of their arguments they're making. We're providing a service when these people desperately need it.
Kind of agree with that, though.
What is the test given to Uber drivers and Lyft drivers beyond just looking at their safety record? Is there any kind of test to get certified to drive for one of those companies?
We could be Uber drivers.
Yeah.
And it's not difficult to be an Uber driver. If you have a registered license, if you have insurance, you allow them to do a background check on you.
And they have to check your vehicle, too, to make sure it's not in disrepair.
Yeah, it's got to be 4 doors. It has to be after a certain year. I don't recall what the year is right now. But, you know, some of these Uber drivers, and I take Uber on weekends,
and
they don't know where they're going. and they're using their phone.
Right.
You know, so
that
while
is a
driving.
Problem.
You know, you want to go back to talking about distracted driving, yep. which we've talked about countless times. You combine someone with little knowledge about really driving in a commercial setting, so to speak, in downtown when they live out in a western suburb, and now they don't know where they're going, and you've got all this pedestrian, bicyclist traffic.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for disaster.
I can't tell you, Jeff, how many times I've been driving by a car that's driving erratically, and I look over and I see the banner on the window that they're either an Uber driver or Lyft driver.
Because every car on the road is an Uber or Lyft driver now.
It seems like it. Yeah,
it really like does.
Seem like it. It's unbelievable because you can't drive on a weekend going downtown without seeing an Uber or Lyft. I bet you to your left, to your right, or in front of you.
Right,
they're just everywhere.
And they get this weird entitlement that used to belong only to cab drivers. I'm sorry, but it's true. Where they think we kind of own the road. You're on our roads, and it's not that way.
Yeah, along with the truckers, some of the trucking companies had that.
But and BMW drivers.
Yeah,
there I said it.
All right,
there
so
I said it.
Who's left? Right. You.
It's just me.
Just us two.
Me and a guy with a rickshaw. That's all that's left. So what do we do? What's our move?
I don't know. I think someday we're going to have to cap or limit the number of Uber and Lyft drivers like New York did.
Yeah. I'm surprised nobody has argued that that's somehow unconstitutional, that you're restricting their business.
But guys, people are using it. If no one was using Uber or Lyft, that would go away. So, I mean, it's filling a void.
We know in Illinois, they restricted the number of medallions for these taxi cabs.
I know.
You know, they were up in arms about that. You know, it's kind of come full circle. They were up in arms about limiting the number of medallions. Now they're up in arms and they're picketing, saying essentially you have to limit the number.
Sure.
So, you know.
Oh, I haven't been in a cab in 3 years where the cab driver at some point doesn't take a shot at Uber and Lyft. Yeah. I mean, that's inevitable. That's going to be part of the discussion.
Yeah. I still take cabs for certain. Like, I always take a cab to the airport. I never Uber. I don't know why. I just don't. Downtown, if I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to grab a cab before I'm going to do an Uber.
Yeah.
But in the suburbs, what do you take Uber?
I would Uber. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's some of these Uber drivers are phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. I've met some, I've had some phenomenal conversations. They're
great people.
Great people. Their vehicle is sparkly clean. Yeah. They've got water for you. You know, then you see the other side.
Yeah.
Where you're like, are we going to make it from point A to point B?
I know.
I just don't know if we're going to get there.
I know. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Jeff Kroll is here, attorney at Salvi Shostak in Pritchard, PC. If you want to jump in on the conversation, you can. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. Still laughing, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Jeff Kroll, attorney at Salvi Shostak in Pritchard, PC. You want to go to salvilaw.com if you need more information. Wendy, we have a story about a tragic bus crash of just a couple of days ago.
You know, and Jeff, I was thinking about it this morning. I was walking the new puppy at about 6:45 last Monday at this time. Before we changed our clocks back, it was pitch black. That's when that bus accident happened in Rochester, Indiana.
Yeah.
So that I just feel like we used to have the same turning the clocks back, and then how long ago did we change it where it's the weekend before Halloween? You know what I'm saying?
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get it. And you know, that's a senseless incident for those three lives.
But it was pitch black. Yeah. I know we're going to get, you know, it's going to be dark at 4 o'clock now. That stinks. But I admit it on the air. I didn't know when you see a stop sign on a bus that even if you're coming in a different direction, you have to stop. I've noticed all over the news now that everybody's reminding everybody when you see a stop sign, regardless of the direction, unless you're on a four-lane highway with a median in the middle, you just stop. But doesn't common sense kick in when you see flashing lights or a bus and you go, I better slow down just in case?
There's so many bells and whistles that should be going off to you as a driver. But, you know, I see so much in my neighborhood impatience where you just see
all the time
people, they're you know, we've got one of those, because we're live 2 doors away from school, one of those signs that shows how fast you're going.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
I hate those signs.
People,
I always am over the limit.
The sign by Wendy's house says, Wendy, you're going this speed. They know she's coming.
Yeah, that's never a good sign. That's like that one commercial with Bob. You know, Bob had his own lane.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
But, you know, people are in a hurry all the time. They don't. A child's safety, it takes an incident like this, sadly, in Rochester to grow awareness, not only in that community, but nationwide. And too many senseless deaths are occurring where people are just impatient. They're looking on their phone. These kids are being dropped off over there. I don't have to worry about them.
Right.
And that's when these sad, you know, keep going back to distracted driving too. Distracted driving is such, it's my biggest concern as a parent. Not only for my children, but for the other people.
For other people on the road that your children are driving next to.
Yeah, I see people, I see, you know, moms pulling out from the school after they delivered a child. Not after they just...
Not after birth.
They delivered a child at school.
Sure.
Dropped the child off, and they're texting.
But why isn't a police officer out there? Because I got busted, I got popped one time. I was in a school zone, and my phone rang, and I just, honest to God, I looked down for a second, and there happened to be a police officer coming by. He turned around and he goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I looked to see who was calling." He's like, "You're in a school zone."
Yep.
And again, I said, "So?" And that's the law. You can't use a phone in a school zone.
A second is all it takes, right?
I got popped. I felt like I was like on Law and Order for a second here with Wendy.
Yeah, Wendy was a perp. Cool.
But it's true. It's the school zones. People are
construction zones, school zones. And I do want to jump in. There's another thing on Ogden Avenue, kind of near us. There is a flashing lighted stop sign. And when someone wants to cross, there's a bike trail in a park across the street. Yeah. Ogden's a very busy area. It's right by the tri-state to get on 294. Yes. And there are, when that light is flashing, someone has hit the button and you're supposed to stop and let people cross. Do you know how many times I see people just fly through the blinking stoplights?
Funny story, about 2 years ago I got rear-ended because I stopped there.
The guy
behind me was like, what are you stopping for?
Well, remember a couple of years ago they started putting all these crosswalks in where it's a designated crosswalk that if somebody's walking across, you have to stop. So there's little smaller stop signs. So as they start putting these in and it becomes new to people, people would always stop at them even when there wasn't anyone crossing, and that created a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no right or wrong. You know, the other one, the people I feel sorry for every once in a while, and I just saw this the other day because Wednesday is when our garbage and all that is removed.
Was picked up.
Those people are flying around those trucks. Not the garbage removal people.
The drivers around them.
The drivers have safety issues because there's people that are just flying around their garbage truck when it's parked.
Yeah, you see a stopped vehicle, don't you proceed with caution and slow down?
Well, that's the law in Illinois.
Or you'll get popped.
You'll get popped or pinched or whatever.
Pinched and popped.
Gotta admit, it was pretty fun to say that.
And it costs extra to get pinched and popped, but sometimes it's worth it, Jeff. You know this.
On weekends, it's usually free.
Sometimes it is. So after this horrible bus accident a week ago, I thought, here's what will happen. People will be really careful for a couple of weeks and then go back to the way things used to be, sadly. It took a couple of days, and I'm watching. The accident was on a Monday, Wednesday or Thursday of last week. I saw somebody, not even on the opposite side, but on the same side with a bus, a school bus that had the stop sign out. This guy just goes around the bus and stuff, and the bus driver's going nuts, you know, gesturing at the sign. I have the stop sign out. He just flew right past. What does that say about people?
It you know, so many people have the mentality, it won't happen to me.
I guess.
There's not going to be. I do this 100 times. It won't happen to me.
That one time.
You know, all it takes is that one time. Oh. That's they gamble, we lose.
Yep. So true. What else? What else should we cover with you today?
The fines for distracted driving are next to nothing.
Is anyone getting pulled over for that?
I'm not seeing it anymore.
I'm not seeing it. Ever.
They made such a big deal out of it when it became a law that you couldn't drive and use your cell phone at the same time. But every day you see people do it, I don't see anybody getting pulled over.
Well, here, I'll just give you this stat. For example, if you have a DUI, you can get in a lot of trouble financially and criminally, etc. It's like $100 if you get pulled over for distracted driving. But yet, if you look down at your phone, if you're going to speed limit, you look down at your phone for 5 seconds, which is the average, you're going over a football field in distance.
Wow.
So how is that not like a second offense, third offense? These people should be practically jailed.
Right.
And it's a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
I think we need further punishment.
It's not being enforced at all.
It's not being enforced.
No, and there are more distracted driving incidents happening right now than drunk driving incidents. I'm sure of it.
But you know what? No one admits to the fact that they were texting and driving.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I do for a living, and I can tell you, we could see their phone records. We know they're texting, and they're like, "No, that wasn't my phone."
Although, Bill, explain your situation.
All right. So, a year and a half ago, I got hit by somebody who was obviously, you could tell by the way the car was approaching, they were texting and driving at the same time. I don't know if they were actually physically texting or reading messages, but somebody hit me, and I said to the police officer, they were texting and driving. It's so apparent. You have to take the phone. He goes, I can't do that. I go, you have to. It's pertinent to the case. He goes, I can ask her if she wants to surrender the phone, but if she says no, that's as far as I can go. I can't do anything about it. That's not right.
This wasn't in Chicago, was it?
No, Evanston.
But, I mean, think about it. It's not right, but do you want a police officer to pull you over and say, let me see your phone? Because there was an accident last week. I want to see if you were on it. I mean,
I think that if it's pertinent to the case, and it was in this instance.
But if there were no significant injuries,
yeah,
I think the police, candidly, from my experience, they just write the ticket and get out.
And that's
they're,
it.
They're not going to do
that. Makes
full,
sense.
Full
if someone was injured, yeah, that, that's
then it might have been a different story.
But we get to subpoena the records, you know, and I get.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we get this in every case where you subpoena the records to see whether or not they were on the phone. Because believe it or not, some people aren't candid about whether they were
I'm
on the
sure.
phone.
I'm times. Sure. So what happens if you're in an accident and it's obvious by the records that the phone was in use? Is it even close to what you would get if it was a DUI? Because it's just as dangerous.
But the police won't. But that's in their rearview mirror then.
No, it is.
Because it'll be more for the civil suit versus a ticket. Oh. Because the ticket is done.
Right.
It's been written. It's been written.
Yeah.
And no police officer, nobody's going to come back and if I say, look it, I've got this.
Yeah.
Phone. Good.
That's sad.
It is.
That's awful.
We need to be more careful out there, and we need to let people in when they're trying to merge. I mean, there are more cars, but people are ruder these days, too. I mean, we're all here to share the roads together. It's amazing when I'm driving in that the car coming the opposite direction is not going over the center line. There's a matter of trust that we have in everybody out there, and we're all on this road together. Why can't we just let people in or wave thank you? Or what happened to that?
I don't know. I've tried to instill with my son, you know, road rage where you don't.
There's a story in the news today. Someone was just shot because of a road rage incident.
Someone cuts you off. Don't do something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just they've got a problem. They're having a bad day or what do you ever want to say. But there used to be a guy named Zig Ziglar. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yeah.
Motivational speaker.
I used to love Zig Ziglar.
Yeah.
But one day this executive got cut off and he got all mad. So he gets to the office, yells at his secretary. Secretary yells at her husband. Husband gets home, yells at the kid. Kid's all mad, kicks the cat.
Oh.
And the whole story is, wouldn't it have been easier if this executive just kicked the boy's cat and eliminated everybody else?
Right.
But, you know, and that's kind of how, you know, your wife calls and gets you upset. And then next thing you know, you're yelling at somebody. And
that is true.
It is.
It escalates.
It escalates.
And someone gets popped, Wendy. It's not just you.
God,
someone
always
ends up
say,
getting popped. It is fun. Jeff, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having
greatly
me.
Appreciated. It's Jeff Kroll, attorney at Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard PC. You can find them right there on your computer, Salvi, SALVI, law.com. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.